They think religion should yield dividends, and of course religion does yield high dividends, but only to the man whose resources are within him. We brought nothing into the world, for that matter, we cannot take anything with us when we leave. But if we have food and covering, we may rest content. Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and snares, and many foolish, harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and perdition. The love of money is the root of all evil things, and there are some who, in reaching for it, have wandered from the faith and spiked themselves on many thorny griefs. But you, man of God, must shun all of this and pursue justice, piety, fidelity, love, fortitude, and gentleness. Run the great race of faith and take hold of eternal life. For to this you are called, and you confess your faith nobly before many witnesses. Instruct those who are rich in this world's goods not to be proud and not to fix their hopes on so uncertain a thing as money, but upon God who endows us richly. Okay, skip that.
第一テモテ第一テモテ6章6節から。しかし満ち足りる心を伴う経験こそ大きな利益を受ける道です。私たちは何一つこの世に持ってこなかったし、また何一つ持って出ることもできません。衣食があればそれで満足すべきです。金持ちになりたがる人たちは誘惑と罠と、また人を滅びと破滅に投げ入れる愚かで有害な多くの欲とに陥ります。金銭を愛することがあらゆる悪の根だからです。ある人たちは金を追い求めるために信仰から迷い出て、非常な苦痛を持って自分を差し通しました。しかし神の人よ、あなたはこれらのことを避け、正しさ、経験、信仰、愛、忍耐、柔和を熱心に求めなさい。信仰の戦いを勇敢に戦い、永遠の命を獲得しなさい。あなたはこのために召され、また多くの証人たちの前で立派な告白をしました。17節から、この世で富んでいる人たちに命じなさい。高ぶらないように、また頼りにならない富に望みを置かないように。むしろ私たちにすべてのと、すべてのものを豊かに与えて楽しませてくださる神に望みを置くように。また人の益を図り、良い行いに富み、惜しまずに施し、喜んで分け与えるように。以上です。
If you would bow your heads in prayer before Pastor Jim comes, we will pray for both the message and for Pastor Jim.Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage, and we are reminded today that true wealth does not exist in this world, and that it is our spiritual well-being that we must focus on. And we just pray that you would teach us today as godly men and women to follow you and to know what is right at each and every moment of the day, and to seek you for guidance. And we just pray this in your name. We pray for Pastor Jim as he comes up to deliver the message today, and for our own hearts and minds, that we would be open to the messages prepared today. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. I want to talk with you today about how to be rich. You may be thinking, don't you mean how to get rich? No, it's a whole different question. And I will let the experts talk about how to get rich. If I knew about that, maybe I would be rich in money much more than I am now. But I don't know about that. I do want to focus on how to be rich. And in today's Bible reading, Paul is writing as an experienced older minister to Timothy, who's a younger leader in the still new Christian church. And among the people that Timothy serves as a minister, some are rich people who have a lot of money. And today's churches too, there's some who have a lot of money. Well, who is rich? We might be thinking, oh, well, today's message, that's not for me. I'm not rich. It must be for a message for somebody else. But if we compare ourselves to extremely rich people, we may think, well, I'm not rich. But how about if we compare ourselves to everyone? Branko Milanovic is an expert at the World Bank. Recently, he wrote that to be in the top 1% of income of the people in the whole world, you'd need to have an annual income of about 4 million yen. 4 million yen. Japanese economy, that's not that much. But if you look at it in that way, there are many, many rich people all around us. Many of us are rich. And especially Japan and North American economies also are so that there are many, many, many rich people by world standards. Some people have done surveys to measure how much money people think they need in order to be rich. How much would you have to be a rich person? If you ask a lot of people and count the numbers, this is too simple, but the results often say, double my income. If I could make two times the amount of money I make right now, then I'd be rich. But if you ask a person whose income is this level, how much you need to be rich, and this person says, oh, about this much. If you ask someone who makes that much money, they say, no, I need about this much. If you ask someone who makes that much, they say, about this much. Can you see what's happening? No matter how much you get, almost no matter how much money you get every year, most people think it's not enough. Most people think, I need a lot more before I can be a rich person. That's the way human beings often think. Someone famously asked a question to John D. Rockefeller, and he was the richest man in the world for a long time, at one point, a person who built up the oil business in the U.S. And if you go to New York City, you think Rockefeller Center downtown, where the people ice skate in the winter, that's named after him, right? Someone asked him, how much money is enough money? And he answered, just a little bit more. Human beings feel that way, don't we? Human beings today have many troubles that grow out of the way we think and believe about money and the things it buys. That was true in Timothy's time. It seems that rich Christians were there in the church or churches he served, but they weren't very good at being rich. A lot of money passed through their hands, but it didn't lead them to much happiness, and it didn't make other people happy very much either. In fact, for some of them and for some people today, money can be the very reason they're not happy and not free, not at peace. Money is the root of all evil. Have you ever heard those words? Are those Bible words? No, they're not. Those are misquoted Bible words. Paul does not say money is the root of all evil. God says in the Bible, and Paul's quoting, telling us, God's message, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money that's a problem, but when you love it too much in the wrong way and you set your heart on that, it can do great damage to your life. Our problem is not our money, but how we think and believe about it. It's the place we give it in our hearts and our lives. So, I want to learn with you today, from God's Word, how to be rich. That's how to use money well. God's teachings can help us become able to use money, not be used by money. Empower us to use money in ways that lead us to peace, to happiness, not away from peace, away from happiness. I feel led to talk to you more another time, maybe next time, about giving to God's work, supporting the church work, for example. But for today, not that area, but more money in general. What's it do in your life, in my life? And how can we make a place in our lives for money that God is happy with, that leads us to a full, rich, meaningful life? To do that, let's look at three questions and find their answers that God gives. First, what does it mean to be rich? And how does becoming rich in money impact our lives? How does it change us? And what does God want rich people to do? Let's focus on those three. First, what does it mean to be rich? Jesus showed his disciples that there's more than one type of richness. Now, some people are rich in money. Others have less money, but have a rich imagination. They may be rich in friends, rich in life experiences, rich in knowledge. There are many different ways to be rich. And no matter what kind of thing you have, if you really believe in your heart you don't have enough of it, you're not going to be very happy. So, to be truly rich, you have to have contentment. That's what Paul focuses on here. You have to be content. You have to be at peace with your life the way it is. If you don't, even when you get money, it won't help you. It can kill you. It can destroy you. People in Kentucky, America recently won the lottery, and before too many years had passed, they both were dead, partly because of things that linked with getting all that money. Starting an alcoholism problem, then breakup of marriage, then different things that led, they were dead before too long, partly through receiving lots of money at one time. Paul says in verse 10, some people want to get rich. They wandered away from the faith. They wounded themselves with many sorrows. One thing money can do is take your faith. I know people who've grown up in the Christian church and never really had any special problem, said, oh, forget Jesus, nothing like that, but just became interested in other things. I want to get a good job and go to school, get the qualifications you need, start a career. Wow, if I work 7 days a week, I get a lot more money. There goes church. No place for the support system for faith. And before you know it, never see them again. Go on. We need something different. We need to be content. But how can we do it? Well, by having all the things we want, right? We get more and more and more, and we have everything we want, then we'll be content, right? No, it doesn't work that way. It's not that simple. We don't even want the things we really need. Our wanters are broken. We want the wrong things. And even when we get them, they don't feel like enough. So just trying to get everything you want, it's a trap. It won't happen. It won't work. It won't lead you to peace, that happiness, the Bible teaches. But what if you could learn to be happy with the things you have? Then the endless desire for more and more things would not control you, right? Paul has learned that. That's why he says to Timothy in verse 6, you gain a lot when you live a godly life. Of course, Paul didn't just think that up himself. He learned it from the master teacher Jesus, who said, Luke 12:15, watch out, be on your guard against wanting to have more and more things. Life is not made up of how much a person has. We make a serious mistake when we come to believe that our importance as a human being is tied to how much we have. The moment we believe that lie, we start down the road that leads to bondage, slavery, not being people of peace. A bondage that keeps us from living as free people, fulfilled, contented people. Jesus offers a better way. He contrasts a person who stores things away for himself with someone who is rich in God's eyes, or King James says, rich toward God. We need to discover and rediscover and grow into the richness of spirit that's available to us in knowing Christ. Then we can begin to grow rich as whole people, not just rich financially, but rich as whole people in ways that go far beyond what money can do for us. Someone told of going to stay for a short time in a monastery where monks are, the shudoi, that's come, and a short stay there, and he went into the room where he was going to stay, and there was a sign in that room, and it said, "Welcome. We hope you have a great stay here. If there's anything you want, just let us know, and we'll be happy to tell you how you can get along without it." Well, let's join that man on the journey of discovering a deeper richness that does not depend on the power of money. Next, let's turn to how becoming rich changes us. How does it impact people? As you know, it can influence us in ways that build up or tear down, support or destroy, heal or harm. So let's look at the downside first, the dangers that being rich brings. Paul tells Timothy, verse 9, people who want to get rich are tempted. They fall into a trap. They're tripped up by wanting many foolish and harmful things. Those who live like that are dragged down by what they do. They are destroyed and die. And when he uses this image of falling into a trap, Paul is using a Greek word that means noose, rope around your neck. And that was used in that time to catch birds. People would catch birds that way. Once the birds realized they were in the trap, it was too late. They couldn't get out. Have you ever been in a financial situation that felt like that? Many people are, and then some churches are, and after going into debt. The choice to go into debt is one that Christians should make only after seeking God's leading with much prayer. But even if you don't go into debt, you could just, and if you just spend your money on yourself, a strange thing begins to happen. Many people notice the ability to enjoy the money goes down. It often becomes less and less. People become used to the money. It comes to feel normal, not special, necessary, not a luxury. It can even seem there's something wrong if the money is not there anymore. The thrill of it is gone. That's the typical pattern of addiction. Whether it's addiction to money, addiction to drugs, or addiction to whatever, that's the way addiction usually works. If you notice this happening in your life, you're in bondage. You're not free. It's easy to become a slave of money. Many come to realize that we don't possess money anymore. Money possesses us. And we are owned by our money in some ways, often before we know it. Money has the power to deceive. Money deceives people. It has the ability to blind us to itself so that we cannot see the damage it's doing in our lives. Pastor Tim Keller reports that people often come to him and confess sins. People do this, pastors, right? Pastor, I did this. I committed adultery. I look at pornography. I can't stop looking at pornography. Confess lots of different sins, but almost no one ever comes to confess, I'm greedy. I love money too much. It's an amazing power that money has to trick people into thinking we're okay. It's normal. It's fine. It's not hurting me. Many people easily feel that way when it does. It does damage our lives in many cases. There's another shift that takes place when we gain more money. The way we see ourselves often changes. For example, we can come to see ourselves as needing more than we did before. Once we buy more expensive things, then pretty quickly we come to feel, I need insurance for that. I need accessories that go with that. I need other things that support the lifestyle I've started to have now. And we need more than we did before. It often happens. That's what we feel. We can begin to see ourselves as better or more important than we used to be because now we have nicer things. We begin to base our hopes, base our plans, base even our self-image or even our identity on how much money we have. That's a trap. That will kill you. Riches damage the quality of your life when you believe the lie that they make you more important as a human being. there's a temptation to think that you have more than others in different areas of life too, just because you have more in one area of money. If I have a lot of money, I must also be more intelligent or more skillful or better looking or something than other people. We can often feel that way. That's not true. Paul says Christians need to learn not to be proud. There's also the temptation, on the other hand, to think less of yourself if you don't have as much money as some other people around you. That's a temptation too. That'll damage your life also in a different way. So money can poison your life, either by its presence or by its absence. And if you compare yourself to others around you, and you look, for example, at the people that you went to school with when you were a student, and you see how much more money they have now than you do, and you feel bad about yourself or you feel bad about them because of that, the damage is there, whether you have a lot of money or little money. You can become a slave to money, even if you don't have much. The problem with money is, whether you're rich or poor, inside each income category bracket there's a range. Not all rich people are equally rich. Not all poor people are equally poor. Whatever level you're in, there's someone around you who has a little more, and there's someone around you who has a little less. If you're always comparing yourself to them, and you get in the habit of comparing yourself to them, no matter what level you're in, you're going to feel bad about yourself and feel better about yourself than you should in an unhealthy type of way. If you let yourself focus on other people and compare, it's really easy to feel always, I don't have enough. If you play the comparing game, it's never enough. Money also deceives by telling the lie that you're okay if you have it, safe, secure. Life is good. Our problem often is not that we're so stingy. We don't want to give because we're so stingy. Often, we don't want to give because we're afraid. Afraid of losing our security, losing the safe life that we have if we give too much. Money promises security, even though it cannot keep its promise very well. Money tells the lie that you can feel better about yourself if you have it. If I had more money, I wouldn't have self-doubts. I wouldn't worry. I would like myself more. Actually, when people get more money, life often becomes worse in those areas. Many pastors and counselors can tell you many stories of people who come to them and tell about their lives and their troubles. Money makes a lot of promises, but it can't keep them very well, many people report. And the Christian gospel, though, meets your true needs for a good, healthy, positive image of yourself. It meets them by leading you into a relationship with the living God, who's the only source of the deepest love, the only source of real safety, security. No one yet has fully understood how much God loves you. God's love is that great, that vast. It makes it possible for us a life of true richness. And when people gain money, relationships with other people also are changed. If we become rich, some people will come to see us differently. They may envy us or compete with us or other things. And we may think, if I had more money, I would get along better with my family members. Or if I had more money, I wouldn't be so jealous of my friends. And we might look to money to solve the problems in our hearts. But people who have problems in these areas before they get money often have problems in these areas after they get money. With money bringing these types of changes into our lives then, it's no surprise that receiving a great deal of money has led some people not to great peace, not to great happiness, but to loss of friends, to divorce, to court, prison, worse in some cases. Now we've seen several different ways that money can impact us in damaging ways, but its influence does not have to be all bad. There are also great opportunities that money can bring. In verses 17 through 19, Paul presents money as a very useful tool, we could say. Verse 17, he says, God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. In other words, money can be a way that God uses to help us enjoy love. God uses it because He loves us. And uses it to help us enjoy life because of His goodness and love. He wants us to enjoy His gifts. He doesn't want us to do it selfishly. And verse 18, Paul says that Christians need to learn to share. There are things of great, great value that only that you can only receive when you give them away. You receive something when you give away what you have. There's a mystery there. There's a paradox there that we notice in life. It's the things that you've given away that bring rewards that last for eternity. On Father's Day, for example, many of us can remember the things our fathers did for us when we were small, and maybe changed our diapers, maybe just played together with us, paid for our schooling. All those things have enriched us. They've helped us grow up as human beings by choosing not to spend all their time for themselves and all their money for themselves. Our fathers gave us things that have helped us become rich human beings in many ways, for a long time in many cases. We're happy to remember them, but we also need to apply that same teaching to our own lives and learn to give and to help other people, yes, but also to gain ourselves. By giving, we gain. There's a principle, a teaching the Bible gives us. Verse 19, in that way, and it's by giving, they will put riches away for themselves. It will provide a firm basis for the next life. Then they will take hold of the life that really is life. In other words, if we use money in the ways God teaches, it can help us to grow spiritually in relationship with Him. Well, third question. We've seen first different ways to be rich, and then how being richer, getting more money, impacts and changes us. And finally, let's look at what God wants us, rich people, to do. In verse 6, He teaches, be happy with what you have. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to be happy. Be happy with what you have. In verse 8, He shows an attitude that we can use. Here's a good attitude about your life. If we have food and clothing, we'll be happy with that. Food and clothing. That's enough. Enough. Oh, there's a big word. If you choose to take that view of money and material possessions, it will change you. It will change your life in big ways. He continues in 11a, but you are a man of God. And before telling exactly what we should do, Paul starts with identity. What you do grows out of who you are. First, he says, you're a man of God. You belong to God's family. And your deepest needs are going to be met there. When you know that, you can be free to handle money in a healthy, good way. Only then does he move to specific actions, behaviors, keeping rules. Our identity as children of God, that's the basis for our morals, such as how to use money in a good way. About the temptations money can bring, he tells Timothy, run away. Run away from those things. Try hard to do what is right and godly. Have faith, love, gentleness. Hold on to what you believe. That's what he wants from us. And fight the good fight along with all other believers. Take hold of eternal life. So those things don't relate to money directly, but they're under that. They're the basis for how to handle money. If you set your sights on other things than money, you have a far greater chance to discover deeper happiness. Set your sights on God, set your sights on helping people, you can handle money in a much more natural way, Paul tells us. It continues in 17 and 18 about people Timothy's serving in the church. He's to teach them, quote, not to be proud, unquote, and a list of other quotes, not to put their hope in riches, but to put their hope in God. They're to do what is good, to be rich in doing good things. And the Lord wants them to give freely. And Paul's echoing the words of Jesus from Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. Yeah. In one of his stories, Jesus tells his listeners to use money to gain friends. Use your money to get friends. It's a good way to use money. then when the money fails, and money will fail, then still you'll have something valuable. You'll have good friends. That makes sense, Jesus says. That's wise. That's life indeed. That's life that really is life, Paul calls it. Well, to sum up everything we've learned today, if you put your focus on pleasing God and helping other people, you can better learn to be free from the power of money. And when you do need to think about money, the best way to enjoy it is use your money to spend, use your money to make other people happy. If that's your goal, you're trying to use your money to help other people be happy, you'll be a happier person too. And you'll find God's blessing, God's work in your life. To put it another way, God's given us, as His people, the amazing riches of grace and justification. Grace and justification. Great gifts God's given. Through Jesus' death, His return to life, He's made a way for us to be right with Him and right with each other. And knowing this is the basis for real contentment and peace. When we have that, we can learn to use money as a tool and not as a god. Let's pray. Lord, You know our needs. You made us so that we need a certain amount of money to live. You also know our weaknesses, how easily we fall into the sin of trusting money to meet our needs instead of relying on You. Father, help us to learn to receive what You give us and let that be enough. Help us to be people who know the beauty and the goodness of enough. Teach us, God, to trust You in the decisions we make each day so that money will play the part in our lives that You, in Your wise and loving plans, wanted to play. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.